Now may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's amazing, Hamish and I were just speaking about this in the office before. How many Sundays have something named about them now? You can have Homelessness Sunday and, I don't know, any other Sunday you want. Today, Vocation Sunday. It's a new one on me. I didn't know about it until our lovely ordinance told me and said, can we do the service, please? Yeah, fine. But today, in some places, is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. There's another one. In all 3 years of the lectionary, the cycle of readings that the Anglican Church and many others follow, the fourth Sunday of Easter has part of John chapter 10 as its gospel reading set for it. So year A has verses 1 to 10, year B verses 11 to whatever, and year C another bit. And they all revolve around this saying of Jesus, I am the good shepherd. But as is so often the case, it's very easy to take what we're presented with and not place it in its proper context. And actually, John chapter 10 is part of a very long section of John's gospel that begins with a healing. It begins with the healing of the man born blind. And it starts with Jesus' disciples asking him what turned out to be a stupid question. Begins in the beginning of chapter 9. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Then Jesus heals the man and he regains his sight. The Pharisees get stroppy, they don't like it. There's a conversation about spiritual blindness, and then we get to where we are now. So I think it's important to realise where this comes in the gospel, because I think that has a bearing on how we understand verse 10 of chapter 10. But we're getting slightly ahead of ourselves there. So Jesus responding to this conversation about spiritual blindness with the Pharisees starts to talk about sheep, which doesn't, to me, seem to follow at all. If you want to talk about blindness, you talk about eyes and seeing and stuff. But he starts to talk about sheep. Sheep figure quite often in the Bible all the way through, I mean, which you'd expect. It's an agrarian society. And I don't want to talk about sheep. You know what a sheep looks like? It's that small woolly thing that stands on a mountain often or in a field and looks cute until you see their eyes. Have you seen those sheep's eyes? They're so weird. They've got these kind of slitty pupils. Now, you don't want to look in the sheep's eyes very closely at all. They're very strange things. And it reminds me, was it yesterday or Friday? I can't remember now. I was going through some photos trying to find a particular photograph, and I found a picture I'd taken of at the Royal Norfolk Show a couple of years ago of a sheep wearing a woolly jumper, which I thought was just... I just thought I'd share that with you. It's this kind of purple woolly jumper. Why does a sheep... Anyway, but sheep are strange. But they are something that are mentioned often in the Bible, because they would have been all over the place. So sheep and shepherds is a very familiar image that Jesus kind of speaks into as he continues this conversation with the Pharisees. And he talks, first of all, really, about bad shepherds. And he talks about them as being thieves and robbers, strangers to the sheep. They come in the wrong way to the sheepfold. They don't come in through the gate, they climb over the fence. But these bad shepherds are those who want to do bad things to the sheep. They want to lead the sheep astray. They want to steal and kill and destroy, as Jesus very, very memorably describes them in verse 10. He then contrasts that with the good shepherd. He doesn't say good shepherd, actually, in our reading today. It comes immediately next. But he then contrasts the bad shepherds with an honest shepherd, with a good shepherd. And this shepherd is listened to. His sheep know him. He calls out his own sheep. He leads them. I don't know if anyone ever driven in Wales? It's an interesting experience because you never quite know where the next flock of sheep is coming from, do you? And they sometimes just kind of pour over the bank and appear in the middle of the road. And you think, where did they come from? But one of the things about sheep and shepherds in this country is that the shepherd follows the sheep and kind of pushes them along almost, usually these days in a quad bike. But they go behind the sheep and they use the sheepdog to kind of round them up and keep them more or less in order. And then you just kind of sit in the middle of the road for about half an hour while they all wander past looking stupid. I'm sure sheep aren't stupid, but they give that impression, don't they? But in this context, the shepherd would lead the sheep. He would walk ahead of them and they would follow him. And that's a very different way because they knew him. And a shepherd could call out his own sheep from a large group of kind of merged flocks and they would know him and they would come out and follow him. So there's something really relational about the shepherd and the good shepherd and his sheep. He's a known voice to those sheep. And of course, he doesn't climb over the fence. He comes in through the gate and he's let in because he's known to the gatekeeper. So there's that contrast between good and bad shepherds. And the good shepherd brings salvation. Jesus says, I am the gate. It's a strange saying, isn't it? I am the gate. I'm a wooden thing hanging on two hinges. Really? No. It means he's the way in. It's kind of a different way of him when later in John's Gospel. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the gate. I'm the way in. I'm the way in to salvation. I'm the way in to, as it were, good pasture. The opportunity to go in and out to freedom. Not to go in and be confined, but to be able to pass in and out of that good pasture. To be free, to move, and free to have that abundant life, that full life that Jesus offers. As I was thinking about this, I was reading around a few things and thinking, well, what constitutes a bad shepherd? Now, if we were in the time of the Reformation, or immediately after, and we were, say, Roman Catholic, the bad shepherd would be Protestants. And if we were Protestants, the bad shepherd would be Roman Catholics. And I think that's how this was often understood, wrongly, clearly. And if we were in certain places, it would be certain things. But I think that there's something for us in terms of what makes a false shepherd is anything that might lead us in the wrong path. Anything that might have the effect of stealing and killing or destroying. And that's not kind of necessarily literal death or destruction, but having taken away our salvation, taking away our peace, taking away that fullness of life that Jesus comes to bring. And it doesn't take too much to think what those things might be. Anything that draws us away from following Jesus. And that could be just about anything. You could say the false shepherds are those who want us to live a consumer lifestyle. So you might say the advertising industry, and I'm sorry if you work in that. I mean, it's not a wrong thing, but it's something that if we don't respond with discernment can easily lead us astray. You might say it's certain aspects of the media. There's all this thing about fake news at the moment, isn't there? We need to have discernment. We need to recognize the voice that's speaking to us and know it for what it is. It might be a life of ease and pleasure. selfishness, not being prepared to give ourselves in the service of others. That in itself can be a false shepherd, can lead us away from following Jesus. It can be a stranger's voice. So I don't think we have to personify the false shepherd at all. I think we can see the false shepherd's ways in so many aspects of our society. So many things that would draw us away from following the good shepherd. And the way to discern that is really to learn to recognize the good shepherd's voice. And we can only do that through spending time with him. And so a life which has within it regular prayer, regular reading of scripture, regular being in church and being with our Christian brothers and sisters, worshipping God together. All those things help us to recognize the good shepherd's voice. But also, what is full life? And I'm slightly annoyed with the NIV here, because verse 10 in most of the other translations is, "I've come that they may have life and have it in abundance," which is a much better word, I think, than full. And I know it means the same thing, but abundance is a much richer word, which is why our theme today is abundant life, even though it doesn't appear in the reading in this translation. Yes, abundant life is a life lived in the light of the salvation that we have in Jesus. But also, bearing in mind, as I said at the beginning, that this passage begins with the healing of a man born blind, what does abundant life look like for him? Abundant life for him is being able to see. Abundant life for him is no longer having to rely on begging for his livelihood. Abundant life for him is the ability to have his to work for his own living, to be in relationship with people in a completely different way. So when Jesus talks about abundant life in this context, there's something there about what it means to bring sight to the blind. If you are in some form of captivity, what does abundant life look like to you? Well, it would be freedom, wouldn't it? If you're lonely, what would abundant life look like to you? It would be having friends. I mean, there's two aspects to this full life, this abundant life. Yes, it's really important, of course, and I think really what Jesus was getting at mostly was about salvation. But there's that other aspect to it as well, of what does abundant life look like today for those who would say they don't have it. And so, yes, salvation is God's activity. But some of the other side of it, some of the other aspects of abundant life could actually, and I think should actually, be ours. As we serve others, then abundant life can become more of a reality for them as well. So two questions to end with. One, am I following the Good Shepherd? And have I learned to hear his voice? Or am I being led astray by bad shepherds and hearing a voice of a stranger? And secondly, are there things that I can do to help to bring abundant life to others? Amen. Would you please stand? Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.